Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming, we are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry. We'll voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. No holds barred radio, folks. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, entertainment, film, politics, you name it, we talk about it. And we've got a special guest on our show this week, along with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good. I had a feeling that this gentleman was going to find his way on the podcast this week.
I think it's important we had him on. It was quite an interesting situation on Saturday night at the UFC Apex in Vegas. We will discuss it. But let's bring on a man who has made his mark in the octagon, a man who has fought his way into the octagon, a man who is getting noticed from everybody, a man who fought his first fight, his debut, and gets a $50,000 bonus. What better way than to enter the UFC world of MMA?
Real quick, Buff, before you get there, maybe a man who got three knockouts in one fight. I'm just saying.
Maybe. And we'll discuss that. So let's bring on Trevor Peak. Trevor, how are you, baby? You all good?
Man, I am doing great. This is just I'm so just over the moon. Thank you guys for having me on. As soon as I found out I was getting to come on today, I've been running around and probably driving everybody at my gym just crazy. Every time I see somebody, I'm like, dude, guess what I get to do today? And I'm just doing great, man. Just super blessed.
Well, I love it. You know, and as the saying goes, Trevor, today is truly the first day of the rest of your life. Okay, so let's make it a good one. It was a pleasure meeting you on Saturday night. First off, it was an honor announcing you on your Octagon debut, because all debut fighters for me is an exciting experience for me to see somebody fulfill their dream, man or woman, walking into the Octagon, the door closing, and it's just you and the other guy across the way, and it's your blood, sweat, and tears on the line. You handled yourself with class. You fought like a warrior. There's something I saw on you that night, and I see it in a lot of fighters, but there was something I saw on you. And when you came up to me, and when I went over to say thank, you know, congratulations, you were so sincere in the way. And when you asked me to take a picture with you, you know, it's like, I was taken with that. I normally get out of the octagon. I'm always happy to fulfill every fighter's dreams, whether they want me to give them a fist bump or whatever the case might be. So it was a pleasure meeting you. It was a grand first experience, and I can't wait to see your evolutionary process as you continue. And then the reason go ahead.
No, it was just feedback, Buff. Don't worry.
You know, everybody's talking about the fact that I gave you my fight card. Okay. And I did that, Trevor, out of a gesture, because again, it's very important to me as fighters go in the octagon that they not only fight like warriors, like you fight like a warrior, true warrior spirit, but the way they handle themselves outside the octagon as well. And in your interview, your courtesy, your chivalry, it all, I was taken with all of it. And it's a momentary thing. And I hope you enjoyed that card and look at it so that when you do someday put that belt around your waist, you remember where it all started. All right. And I think I think you're the kind of young man that will do just that, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, man, that gift is, I don't think a world title is going to mean as much as that gift does, man. I mean, people get world titles. They get world titles every single day. And, when I was back there doing that interview, you know, and they brought it up to me and they said that you've only done that one other time in your whole announcing career, man, it was hard for me not to cry. I'm getting emotional now, man. can't thank you enough, Mr. Buffer. That was like, you know, I've had some stuff behind the scenes stuff go on, you know, getting ready for this fight. And I'm like bringing my mind to focus and everything. And there, right before I come out, I started giving myself a little bit of nerves, you know, and I stopped myself long enough to, you know, tell myself like, hey man, like enjoy this process, man. This is your debut, man. Just soak all this in and have a good time. And I didn't even know you was in the building, man. I was, they had the TV we had back in the back with us. I couldn't hardly, like, the volume was real low and I missed all the announcements. And man, when I seen you in there, dude, it was just like, that was one of the absolute coolest moments in my entire life. I couldn't contain the excitement. It was just super cool, man.
Thank you, Trevor.
Do you mind, Trevor, if I ask, you know, when the first time you saw Bruce was, or like remember seeing Bruce on TV, like, was that a pivotal moment for you in your Ultimate Fighting Championship sort of fandom, was Bruce?
Yes, sir. I'd seen a couple events and I wasn't just super invested in them, but like as soon as I got like really invested in the sport and started becoming more of a fan of the sport as a whole, like, you know, meeting Mr. Buffer was at the absolute top, man. That was just a dream come true, you know, seeing him in there in the moment I seen him, it was like, this is what it's about, man. You know what I mean? Like this is what dreams are right here. This moment right here, man. Like you get to check a dream off your list. And it was just, I don't know how to put into words, you know, what the whole moment meant to me. It was just, I'm just so blessed. Thank you, Mr. Buffer, for that moment, man. That's a memory that I'll take it with me for the rest of my life. And it's just, it was such an honor to get to, you know, share that moment with you.
This Mr. Buffer stuff, Bruce, is driving me crazy. He must be talking about Michael, Trevor, right? He's talking about Michael Buffer, not Bruce right. Buffer.
No, it's okay. Trevor, I truly appreciate all the respect because that's what you're all about. Please call me Bruce, or as I like to say, just call me Bruce. Please call me Bruce. I appreciate it. And if you want to say in the future, it's great, but we're friends now. You call me Bruce.
Oh, he's a Southern boy, though, Bruce. Like, respect comes paramount.
I know, I'm a Southern boy, too. You got to remember, I was born in Oklahoma, raised partially in Texas, and I'm the same way.
I hear you.
I truly appreciate the Southern hospitality. Thank God there's still some of it around in this decaying world of morality that we live in. So stay true to yourself and be a role model for your sphere of influence, as I always like to say, Trevor. That's a key thing. Let me tell you something. What you're talking about is, this is the moment you've truly been waiting for. And that night, it was time for you. And that's a beautiful thing. And also, TJ and Trevor, want to tell you that maybe it's poetic justice. I was there that night because I was not scheduled to do that show.
Oh, really?
I was scheduled to do the show that was the last show in January.
Okay.
And what happened is that I wanted to go to the Bahamas and play the big.
Right. So you like flip-flopped.
Yeah, the poker tournament.
Was wow.
So I asked the producers, could I change shows? Right.
Yeah.
So I could go have a little relaxation, a rare vacation for me.
Dang.
And I went to the Bahamas and I wound up doing the show. I wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, there you go. That works out. It was serendipitous. It was written in the stars.
I know. And Trevor, you know, when you were walking in, because I did not, in all due honesty, because I'm always honest, unless you play poker with me, I'm going to lie through my teeth. I want all your chips. Okay. So play poker with me. But the referee looked at me, goes, watch this kid. Right. He goes, this kid's vicious, right? Somebody else said that to me when you're walking in. And then when I, you know, did my 90-degree whip turn into you, right? Your face, usually young fighters are like this, right? You had this intensity. You liked it. I mean, you blinked, but you were like, oh, yeah, it's happening. It's happening. It was just, I know maybe we're overdoing it for the audience, but our beautiful audience, listen, you got to understand, moments like this for Trevor and for me, because I'm still, after 27 years of doing this, I'm still passionate as hell about what I do.
Right.
And and that moment with you that night, Trevor, solidified and made everything I've done for 27 years and everything I continue to do in this business worthwhile. Because those are the moments I live for. I always say I'll cash the paycheck. I'm the first one to cash the paycheck in a bank on Monday morning. But these moments, this is what makes my life tick and keeps my passion strong for what I do. So thank you, my man. Thank you. Now let's talk about your future. Trevor, you're 7-0. You got one no contest. You're undefeated fighter as it stands like that.
Scored 3 knockouts in his first UFC fight.
Why don't you explain to the audience what you mean by that, TJ?
Well, I just thought there were 3 different moments where the referee could have intervened because, Trevor had you know, hurt him on his feet, hit him on the floor multiple times. I thought there was an argument for one stoppage just to be unintelligent defense. And then there were 2 more stoppages, I thought. One ultimately came where I thought he was knocked out, unconscious for a brief moment. But Trevor, doing what he's supposed to do and stay on his opponent and keep, you know, punishing him, unfortunately woke the man up, I think, a couple of times. But, you know, these things happen.
Well, you know, the other thing too, Trevor, is when I think about your pedigree and your background, You fought at 155, 170, 185. You've been ranked number one at all those weights in Alabama and Tennessee. You're currently number one pound for pound fighter in Alabama and Tennessee. You got 270 pound amateur titles. Your build, your physicality shows that you can put on weight. You can fight bigger than you're fighting, right? Which would be an amazing thing. So my advice is to concentrate where you're at and conquer, right? And then if you do want to move, don't go all over the place. And I'm sure the UFC won't let you do that at whatever, but stay where you're at and conquer. Yeah. Right?
Well, what is the cut like, Trevor? What are you cutting from?
Going down to 55, I usually get down about 20 pounds, somewhere in there.
Oh, wow. So you're walking around a lot heavier.
Yeah, I'm currently, which I've been eating since the fight, I'm probably like 180, 181 right now. Wow. I think I was 174, 175 when I got in the cage that night.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, isn't that? There we go. 19 pounds in 24 hours.
It's crazy.
How does that make you feel, Trevor? Do you feel like you have a lot of energy or do you feel sluggish? How does that make you feel when you put on 19 pounds?
I felt pretty good this last time. The Contender Series fight, I felt like really drained. I feel like I maybe had like an adrenaline dump in the back. My arms and my legs felt super heavy. But whenever we got to the Apex this time, I mean, my arms was, I felt really good, really good. And then when I seen you, it just like everything come together, man. I really got excited and fired up, ready to go then. And I was like, dude, it is time. It's time.
And how does $50,000 bonus feel to you?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that was a pleasant surprise, man. Like I said, I've grew up pretty rough, you know, my whole life. So I'm thankful the way I grew up. It's made me who I am, you know. But that was a really cool surprise. I'm super grateful to the UFC and everything they're doing for me, man. It's making all this stuff super cool.
See, it's That's a good cool. thing they changed it to performance of the night, because if it was a knockout bonus, they'd owe three.
50,000, right?
Yeah, they'd owe three.
So is that a life changer for you? 50,000?
Yes, sir. It definitely helps out a whole bunch, man. I'm going to, you know, try to do some good things with it and maybe invest a little bit of it. And I believe it'll help me out quite a bit, but I'm looking to make some more.
On that tip, Trevor, are you able to focus on mixed martial arts full time, or do you have another 9-to-5 job? Like, how do you, go through your daily life when you're not in fight camp?
I got some construction work I usually do on the side, and I'll do that. And whenever it gets closer to the fight, I'll pull off of them kind of jobs and try to, you know, stay at the gym and focus on training. I actually live upstairs at my gym, so, you know, my coach is real good to me, and they help me out a lot. I couldn't afford to do all this stuff like I do, and without them, man, they've really blessed me.
Literally lives in the gym, Buff.
I friggin' love this. I just love this so much. This is like success story being written, personified. This is like Conor McGregor wearing his dad's suit and, you know, after collecting 150 euros. This is, I'm sorry to interrupt you, TJ.
No.
I'm just feeding off this because this is what I love.
Yeah, no, I was just saying he literally lives in the gym, you know, and that's the dedication that you need as an athlete.
This is the change that's needed. This is why I want to see fighters make money. Trevor, I'm going to introduce you to my company, Millions.co. I'm going to put you on a text line with my associate. Do you have any T-shirts, hats, and merchandise being made of yourself yet?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've had some stuff that I made, but I mean, I've pretty well been doing it by myself. It gets to be a little bit of a headache.
I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you with no headache. I'm going to set you up. Okay. Oh.
Now you're business partners with Bruce Buffer, yeah. Trevor. See what happens when you get the UFC?
When you get a chance, just write this down, Trevor, millions.co, millions.co. Look it up after the show. I'm going to introduce you. They'll make all your merchandise. They got the cameo videos. The Shevchenko sisters are on it. Ariana Celeste is on it. Multiple fighters are on it. And we'll do everything for you, and you can just market it out there so you don't have to ship and stock and spend your money. I want to see you make money. I want to see you concentrate on your fighting.
See,
I'll throw it out to you, and you can do with it what you want.
He needs to have a collab shirt with you now, as the kids say, a collaboration shirt with you now, where it can say, you know, Trevor Peak, I know Bruce Buffer. That's what the shirt can say.
You talked about it in your interview, the multiple arrests, the addictions, 15, the street fights. At what point or what age, how old are you now, Trevor?
28. I turned 28 in January.
All right. In your prime. So at what point, how old were you when you were suffering these addictions, and were they one of the reasons you were getting arrested? I mean, can you tell us a little more about your background and when that all stopped, you know, that you went on the straight and narrow path? Do you mind elaborating a little bit?
Yes, sir. I would say my wilder days began when I was 14 years old, and they lasted up until I was 22. I mean, I was even at that young age, I was really, really wild, man. I'm the town I'm from. I mean, we've got like a Dollar General. You got to drive 30, 45 minutes to get to Walmart. There really was just nothing to do except, you know, party and try to have a good time in that way. And it initially, you know, it all began just, I thought it was just fun to me. But then like the trouble started and, you know, I mean, I got arrested for the first time when I was 15 years old. I stole my mother's car and flipped it and got a DUI.
Oh, wow.
And
stole your mom's car.
Yeah.
Did your mom call the police on you? Your mom called the police?
No, she didn't call the police. I ended up flipping it, and you know, somebody called the police right there, tore their mailbox up and stuff, and they called the police, and then she ended up finding out about it because I mean, they had to call her too. But
were you hurt at all in that?
No, I didn't get hurt a bit, man. Luckily, you know, there's been times in my life that I've gotten pretty hurt, like, you know, alcohol's about taking my life several times. I sleptwalk out of the back of a truck one time going down the road, man. My buddies had put me in the back of this truck, and like at this party, and I was asleep, and like I walked out of the back of it, like totally messed myself up. Like,
did you fall on a gravel road?
No, man, on a paved road. Let's.
I don't know what would be worse. I think gravel would be worse.
I wish I could see, man, after we get off all this, I'll probably send you all the pictures from that incident. That was tough. But yeah, I just kept getting in trouble and everything, and just really got a hold of my life. And I've been to rehab, you know, several times, and I've been in, you know, drug IOP classes and everything, and nothing ever really seemed to work. Like in part of me wanted to try to do better, but I was scared to be any different, you know. And I mean, you know, whenever any of the other times when I tried to get sober and walk, you know, the straight and narrow, like I had to feel emotions. Whereas, like when I was drinking and all that, I didn't really have to feel anything, you know. I could cover it all up, so I didn't know how to deal with anything really. And you know, after I started getting my life together a little bit, I asked God to come into my heart, and He helped me, you know, deal with them emotions and start. It was just a cool experience how everything started, you know, coming together. Like I felt lonely there for a good while. You know, everybody that I cared about, as far as my friends, they was still in addiction, and partly, I wanted to pull them out of it with me, but I couldn't get better myself sticking around. So, you know, I had to leave them behind for a little bit. And, you know, a good bit of them, you know, saw how good I was doing and slowly tried to, you know, get better themselves. And then, you know, unfortunately, you know, life's taken a couple of them friends, but you know, you can't get better whenever you're, you know, in that environment still.
And Trevor, listen, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I want to comment on what you just said. There's a time in your life, as a young man, and even as an older man like myself, okay, I'm 65, right? So I've been around a long time. And I have a lot longer to go. Don't worry. Not like you're worried, but there's a time in your life you got to realize that you've got to walk away and you've got to release yourself of individuals around you that can drag you down, okay? That's that old saying, you know, you lie with pigs, you smell like you know what, okay? So you got to separate it. You've got to... they have to find their way the way you found your way. I know you have a big heart and you would be there for them, but when they, I think the thing about addiction, even when people go to these rehab centers, only 10% of the people that graduate these rehab centers ever stay sober for a long period of time. It's a very difficult road for many people. That mixed with whether they're good or bad people suffering from addiction is another story. If you have people that are not good people and they're suffering from addiction, and you just got to, you know, there's a time you got to make a decision. You just got to cut the cord, you know, you got to cut the cord and move on. Take care of your family, take care of yourself, be in love with yourself before you can love and care for others and make yourself the best person you can be.
On that note, Bruce, and I think maybe you can speak to this too, Trevor, is, you know, rehab and, you know, recovery is different for every person. But I think the first step in any sort of, you know, recovery process is you have to want to make the change yourself. And a lot of people get into trying to get help, but they don't really, you know, come to grips that they want to change. And I think, you know, obviously, if you don't make that change, the first idea of accepting and trying to make a change in your life, you'll never change at all.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah. I mean, you've got to come to a point where wanting to change means more to you than anything else. I mean, and that's kind of where God brought me at in my journey with wanting to get better is finally wanting to change and be different. It started meaning more to me than anything else I had going on, and ultimately it ended up saving everything else I had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It all worked out. God, he really did take a lot of things away from me. And like I said, I went to rehab multiple times and all them classes, and there was still a hole inside of me. And I had to fill that hole, and God, you know, he helped me fill it. And he gave me, like I said, in my interview, he gave me a purpose and an identity. And there's been times where I've, you know, drifted away from him and started chasing after these, you know, worldly things. And anytime I've ever done that, man, like, you know, it just seems like life gets super tough for me. And so I just find if I stay the course and try to focus on God and my fighting career, that, you know, things open up for me a lot more. Like, I mean, I'm never in a million years was I, you know, supposed to be here doing this with you guys. And here I am living the dream. This is part of my dream, man. This kind of stuff, talking with you wonderful gentlemen, like, man, I'm just over the moon. You know, it's all a blessing, man. And I'm just so tickled that God helped me get through the things that I needed to get through.
You've got a lot more to come. You've got a lot bigger podcasts, interviews. You've got a lot of big things ahead of you, Trevor. Just stay the road, stay true to yourself, stay strong, be humble, be respectful the way you've shown it, and let it come to you, but also make things happen for yourself. It won't happen unless you make them happen, Trevor. And I just thought of your first t-shirt at millions.co. In God, I trust.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, man.
In God, I trust. Yeah. It's a great shirt. What do you think of that one, TJ?
I like that. I like that. You know, also, too, I think what Bruce is saying is, you know, there's a lot more to come. And you know, there's that old saying, enjoy the process. There will be a time, Trevor, where interviews like this, they'll annoy you. The request will be a burdensome. So, you know, try to still find value and pleasure in these when you're on, you know, your fourth, fifth, sixth appearance with us.
Have fun. Just have fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely. I sure will.
So, Trevor, now you got the 50 G's. Got to pay a little taxes, of course. Don't forget that. Put some money away for yourself, Trevor. Start putting some money away for yourself a little bit here, but also enjoy yourself. Spend a little money on yourself. I'm sure you got some bills and things to take care of. When do you think, or have they mentioned to you, because you came out very unscathed in this fight, have they mentioned to you when they want to give you another go?
No, sir. They hadn't said anything yet. My manager's going to touch base with them. He wanted to give me kind of a week to, you know, let the dust settle, and he's going to reach back out to them. I'd like to, I like fighting, man. So I'd like to get back in there, you know, hopefully in a month or two. I mean, I feel like I'm better, like all the way around, like outside life, just everything in general seems to work better whenever I have, you know, a fight lined up. It gives me a goal, feels like I got something to do, and just my head, I can focus better. And so
this guy just wants to go to work, Buff. He wants to fight six times a year.
Hey, man, he's waiting for the piece of meat to throw at him. He's ready to go. That's the way he is. He's a pit bull. He's a lion. You know, he's got to get out there and do his thing. And then I can't wait to see it. Trevor, how long are you going to live in the top of the floor of the gym? Time to get yourself a nice apartment.
Oh, I don't know, man. I like it here pretty good. I mean,
well, you like it. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it pretty good. I'd like to eventually, you know, get my own place and everything and start moving towards maybe having a family here in the future. That's another dream I'd like to check off my list. I'd like to have some little ones one of these days and everything. But
are you in a relationship? Right now,
no, sir. Just I'm in a relationship with a fight game.
I'm just saying, it's got to be kind of hard to be like, hey, you want to come back to my house? Like, yeah, it smells like sweat. There's a gym downstairs. Like, try not to touch anything. You might get ringworm. You know, maybe not too many girls are wanting to come over.
Well, no, man. After this last fight, it's been a little crazy. I've had them hitting me up, but
they're like, you know, Bruce Buffer.
Trevor, get ready, man. That they're going to be coming out of the woodwork, my man. It's okay. Have your fun, but just make good choices. That's all I can tell you.
I'm waiting for Trevor to get a big chain and then have that announce card in a big case like Logan Paul with his Pokemon card so he can just wear it around.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely going to have to get it on the daggum necklace. I'm watch that thing around for sure.
Oh, my God. I see you carrying that around on your neck. Just put it in a frame and look at it.
Did he just say dadgum necklace? I love this man. This guy's awesome.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Man, he's like Mater from Cars.
There we go, man. If Mater could fight.
Oh, man. I love it. I love the accents and the flair and the local sort of, diction. Like, I love it. I love it.
It's all good. Hey, Trevor, we want to talk about UFC 285 coming up here a little bit. Let's get your opinion. Do you have an opinion on John Jones and Ciryl Gane?
Yeah, I kind of feel like John's fight IQ is just, I mean, it ain't no secret, man. He's got one of the best fight IQs there ever was. So I kind of feel like Jones will come out on top, and I kind of expect him to maybe wrestle a little bit. But Jones has also been known for, trying to beat people at their game, so I give him all the respect in the world for that. It seems like if he fights a wrestler, he tries to wrestle him, and if he fights a striker, he tries to outstrike him. So, he might not wrestle Gane a bit, but I feel like John will get his hand raised at the end of it.
You think Gone's gonna, John or Gane?
Jones. John Jones.
Yeah, yes, I think I never call winners in fights, but if you look at the paperwork, you look at everything on paper, if it's early, it's going to be Gane. If it goes into the third later round, I'm going to go with John. I'm not declaring a winner. May the best man win as far as I'm concerned, because I don't bet the fights. But it's very interesting. And remember one thing that the tough, and TJ can back me up on this too, we talked about it before, but one of the toughest, if not the toughest fight John Jones ever had was against a kickboxer named Gustafson, who kept moving around the ring and throwing and kicking and all that. And very well could be, the same situation with Gane. But let's see, as soon as John walks in, there's one thing I want to see when he walks in, 30, 40 pounds heavier, whatever he is that cartwheel. Let me see that cartwheel. Let me see that fluidity. Let me see the climbing up the octagon stairs. And then I'll think, here we have the same John Jones, just 30 pounds more vicious than he was last time he was in here. So it's going to be a exciting night for sure.
I'm looking at the odds now, and John Jones is minus 155. The comeback on Gane is plus 135. I can't recall the last time John Jones was in this close of a fight, according to the sports book. This is my issue, Bruce. I love the way you outlined your path to victory. I think you're right. I think Gane early, John late. But you're also hitting the nail on the head when you talk about that cartwheel, his signature patented cartwheel when he enters the octagon. I don't know if we'll see that. John Jones as a heavyweight is different. John Jones as a 35-year-old man is different. We haven't seen him fight in 3 years. I don't know who to pick. And you put a gun to my head and make me pick. Sure, I understand what Trevor's saying. Like, John Jones has amazing fight IQ, but the hardest thing to do in combat sports is take time off, come back, and have the same rhythm. That rhythm is also going to be compromised in the fact that he's heavier and carrying weight in a weight class that he hasn't fought in before. He's been inactive, and Ciryl Gane has been nothing but flawless, essentially, outside of his fight with Francis Ngannou. I hate to say it, I'm going Ciryl Gane.
Oh, really? You are?
Yeah. I mean, I know what to expect from Ciryl Gane. I don't know what to expect from John Jones. John might very well win, but how can you put, I'm not betting, but how can you put your faith behind someone that you really don't know what they're bringing? You know what they brought in the past, but, everything changes later.
Well, one thing we can definitely say is that if John Jones wins, he's truly the GOAT.
I think he's the GOAT now. I mean,
he is.
Anything
that
you
this would solidify it in everybody's mind.
Yeah, I mean, it won't, because he has PED, issues in the past and the character things outside of the octagon. You're not going to win over everybody, but GOAT conversations are contentious always, no matter what. But if you just look at nothing but his performances inside the octagon and his ability to win time and time again, and the damage that he's put on people and the people that he's beat with, legendary legacies, John Jones is the greatest we've ever seen in mixed martial arts, hands down.
No question. And speaking of another great, too, we got Valentina Shevchenko coming in against Alexa Grasso.
Shevchenko didn't look amazing in her last fight. She still won, but she looked as more human than she'd ever had against Talia Santos. I like Shevchenko big here in this fight. I love Alexa Grasso. I think she's a great fighter, but she's still not a natural flyweight. I think she's a strawweight, and she's taking on the best flyweight the world has ever seen.
Agreed all the way around. All I can say about Shevchenko, she's the female Terminator, period.
Oh, 100%.
Period. So a lot of good fights on this card, a lot of good things happening. Hey, I'm very excited about the card on Saturday night. Are there any other fights you want to point out, TJ, before we move on to something else?
Bo Nickel is making his UFC debut.
Bo Nickel's on the card. Yeah,
three-time NCAA champion, one-time runner-up. This kid won the state championship in Texas three times. The other time, he was the runner-up. And he did the same thing at the NCAA level at Penn State, won the national championship three times, one-time runner-up. We've only seen one Hodge Trophy winner in mixed martial arts ever before, and that was Ben Askren, who was, you know, pretty good. Didn't have the best run in the UFC like he wanted to. Bo Nickel has flown through the ranks like crazy. He made his mixed martial arts debut, professional debut, back in June. Was already supposed to fight back in December in the UFC. No one has come up in the modern era this quickly to go from an amateur fighter to a UFC fighter. If there is, I can't think of it off the top of my head. I'm very interested to see how Bo does, because Bo is a guy who feels like he can beat pretty much anybody right now. And, you know, that includes a Khamzat Chimaev. We'll see if he ever gets that fight, but he's got to win his UFC debut in order to get anything. And we'll see what happens. I'm very excited for it.
Well, you mentioned Ben Askren, so I want to segue. Go ahead, Trevor.
I was going to say, if y'all want to hear something crazy, I believe my main training partner, Torres Feeney, I believe he beats Bo Nickel.
Wow.
Y'all see him? Really? I'm telling you, man.
I've called two of Torres Feeney's fights and Jorge Masvidal's icon. That kid's a savage, man. He is a fun fighter to watch.
Now, they're under the same management team, so it'll have to be a big stakes fight later on in life, man. But if we ever see that fight, y'all, I'm telling you, you heard it here first. I think he gets his hand raised, man. I really do. That guy's – I ain't never seen nothing like him.
All right, we're going to have to isolate this and come back to it if those two ever meet. But, Bruce, I'm with Trevor here. Torres Finney will find himself in the octagon very soon.
Fine with me. I want to be there to announce it. Derek Brunson – Duplessis coming out of Vivian Araujo and Amanda Ribas. You know, that's going to be a very good fight. Cody Garbrandt, Trevin Jones, Cody's walking back in the octagon. We always love seeing Cody go in. And Jalen Turner against Gamrot is going to be a very interesting go too.
Stack card.
It's a hell of a night of fights.
Stack card for sure.
So, you know, you mentioned Askren, which makes me think of Jake Paul.
Okay. We're going to talk about
the Jake Paul Fury fight, Fury boxing match this weekend.
I didn't watch it. No.
Did you happen to see it, Trevor?
I seen just little clips here and there. I thought, you know, for Jake, what I did say, Jake looked like he was holding his own pretty decently. So,
yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was fun. $25 million I heard for Jake and $7 million for Fury. So, you know, that's a lot of fun.
And the rematch will be even bigger.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, the rematch will be huge.
What's funny is that Jake's fan base all knows how to get the stuff illegal on streaming. I wonder how many pay-per-view buys they lose.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. I haven't streamed anything. Back in the day, it used to be really difficult. Like, it was really hard. You had to be like a computer wizard to try to do it. From what I hear, nowadays, it's as easy as just clicking on a link and dealing with some pop-ups. You know, that's the issue with these sort of one-off fights, right? Like, these promoters that do one big fight, like, you undercut yourself by kind of putting your eggs in one basket. UFC's, you know, in a better situation because they have card after card after card. But if I was a promoter, Bruce, and I was putting things on pay-per-view on TV, I would absolutely be terrified, because you're right. Like, one link gets out on Twitter or whatever and you're screwed.
I know. But anyway, everybody's laughing all the way to the bank. The people that put this on, I have my brother Michael announce the fight. You know, they treat everybody very, very well. A lot of money changing hands. All right, Trevor. A lot of money needs to change your hands, my friend. And I think a lot of money's in your future. You got to play your cards right, which you seem to be playing them very, very well right now. It's just going to get better. It's going to get more exciting. Stay true to yourself, Trevor. Stay true to yourself. Stay true to your passions. Stay true to everything you said. And it's all going to come to you, my man. It's going to happen very, very wonderfully for you, right? I hope you win every fight in the future. Just remember, you can lose a fight in the octagon and still gain points and still be a winner, as witnessed by Volkanovski in his fight in Australia. Okay? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Just perform at your best, be the best you can be. And as I always say on the show, then you're winning. And you're winning right now, Trevor. And I really, truly appreciate having you on the show. And I look forward to the honor of sharing and roaring your name in the octagon again very soon together.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much for having me on. This is without a doubt one of the absolute coolest things I've ever done, man. All the way around. The whole experience has just been, thank you for blessing me, sir.
God bless you, Trevor. I bless you too. Stay true to yourself. Big cheers and no fears forever. Remember, I meant that when I wrote that on your card. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, see you, Trevor. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. Y'all
and if you ever need anything, I'm going to set you up with my millions company. I'll put through a text. But if you ever need like an audio, inspirational audio for your training or something like that to get you going, hit me up. It'll be done.
I will. Thank you, sir.
All right. You got it, Trevor. You take care.
What a nice young man.
You know, I'll say it again. It makes the job all worthwhile to be able to meet and work with young men like this that are trying to fulfill their dreams in the most passionate, positive way possible. No matter what negativity they had in their background, everybody has a right to better themselves. And that's what this young man is doing.
I love the fact that he didn't even know you were technically in the building until he gets in the octagon.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah.
Very, very cute. Cool guy. Wishing the best, right?
Yeah. No, 100%. Very nice young man and knows what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are. And if he puts it all together, he might score 3 more knockouts in his next fight.
Got a good hand on his shoulders. 28 years old, and the world is his oyster. Let's wish him the best.
Hey, what do you think the fighting prime age is, Bruce? Because, you know, we're talking about John Jones a little bit in the idea that he's 35. And granted, Jones has been in the UFC since he was like 21 years old. I think about guys like Randy Couture, who, you know, didn't start until they were 35. Now, a John Jones at 35 is a much different person than Randy Couture at 35. But what do you expect from John at this advanced age in his MMA career?
I got to tell you, I still expect greatness.
Simple as that. That's all I can tell greatness, you. Huh?
I just expect greatness. I don't expect mediocrity. I expect, maybe it could be a little slower. Maybe he could be a little different fighter.
Is it his fight IQ that gets him through this fight, though, if he is, in fact, slower, maybe because of the weight or age?
Oh, yeah. He has to become, if he's not already, more of a cerebral fighter.
And I think he is a cerebral fighter.
Yeah, he is. And I think that's what's going to benefit him. But, you know, it's his team. It's his teammates. It's his coaching. It's not just John. We know that John, as proven in the past, can rely on himself, but yet he cannot rely on himself. He needs that team behind him. He needs the whole thing to go. So I will know, as you will know, within the first 60 to 120 seconds of his fight, exactly what's going on.
Fair enough.
And we'll leave it at that. TJ, I didn't really go into much news this week. I wanted to have Trevor on the show. I want to talk about UFC 285. Anything else to talk about? Because I think we've had a good show.
No, I think it's been a great show. I think we can put a bow on it.
Okay, let's put a bow on it. What's up? And we'll get back to the audience on our next show.
Yeah, a whole bunch going on for me this week. UFC 285 is obviously in Las Vegas. I will be out there. I will be doing extra rounds Friday live from... where are you going on me, Buffer? Dang, what a bit... You see this guy? He's straight up leaving me high and dry. Over here. All right, I'm talking. We'll be broadcasting live from the Tough Enough show Friday night at the Sahara, which has got a brand new pool. Extra rounds will be live out there doing our thing, breaking down 285 and just talking about everything. And then, of course, Saturday night we'll be in the building at T-Mobile doing our thing before and after the UFC 285 pay-per-view. So if you're around, come out and say hi.
Very cool. Not much to say here other than the fact that I'm going to be training hard all week. I got a ton of business to do, and I'm out of here on Friday. I can't wait to get in the octagon Saturday night.
What did you grab?
Pardon me?
What did you just get up and grab?
Oh, I wanted to make sure everybody know because, you know, we talked about it last week, but the It's Time cologne.
Oh, dang. There it is in the box.
There it is in the box. Nice. The thing. That's the box.
Very nice.
And Amazon.com. Just go to my Instagram at Bruce Buffer UFC. Mm-hmm. Click on the Amazon link. You can buy. It's going out like crazy. It's like nice. They're buying it like crazy right now, and people are loving it. It'll be in all the stores, but right now Amazon.com. 6 months, it'll be in stores everywhere you go.
I mean, I love stores. Don't get me wrong, but once you're on Amazon, I mean, that's the market. You know,
go to Amazon, hit the button.
Right. It just shows up in 2 days. You forget you bought it, and then you're like, right.
There you go. You know, we call it charismatic, sensual, enjoy. You want to be charismatic? You want to be sensual? Get your It's Time Cologne.
And if you're charismatic and sensual, you're going to enjoy a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let the world come to you, my friends.
There you go.
All right, everybody. I will see you from the Octagon on Saturday. Excellent show. Very happy that we get him on, get Trevor on after the performance and all that took place Saturday night. And again, I've done that twice. I've handed out my card. I've really only done it once in the Octagon where I gave it to a fighter, because the other time was when the manager, Danny, came up to me and asked me to get a card for his fighter who just made a debut.
Right.
So yeah. I did give out two, but this is the first time I've ever given it. And again, young fighters coming up understand that I love my cards. I don't give away my cards. So don't think I'm going to be handing this out to everybody.
It's got
to
be a special sort of moment. And not that
it's got to be that momentary thing. It's not going to be a habitual thing. And it's a special thing. And I want to keep this special as it was for this young man, Trevor Peak.
Yeah, it was super cool to see. Like, that was one thing that I loved seeing on Twitter. It just a very special moment inside the Octagon.
And one last thing, I didn't do this for the camera. I don't know when the camera's on me.
Sure.
I thought we were on commercial break.
Well, I mean, you were, I believe, on commercial break in the States. It was one of those things that the international feeds are able to see. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not looking for that kind of publicity. I'm looking for an honest moment between me and the fighter. I don't care about anything else.
Yeah, that's what you got. I mean, that's as honest as it gets.
Sounds good. As real as it gets, as we used to say in the UFC.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Set your goals, write them down, learn about them, be the best you can be. So when you set on that yellow brick path to your future, it's golden and you're performing at your best, whether you're first, second, champion, 10th, whatever, perform at your best, just like this young man, Trevor Peak, did on set last Saturday night, and you're winning. So let's all enjoy a beautiful, wonderful day and a wonderful life. And I'll see you Saturday from the Octagon in Las Vegas. Buffer out.
Dad gum. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Dad gum, Bert. There you go.
'Round. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.